And page Mem Aleph, the Rebbe was taking us to his Shalashudas a little bit. And some examples of siyurim that could be used to strengthen one's hergish, one's experience of that time, which is the greatest time, the highest time of the week. And he continues on the bottom. He says, "Halamashal b'shasha tamargish in a taisu b'chayiras Hashem b'shalosh sudas al titein le'avra le'kave miyad." Of course, a very important thing the Rebbe says is that if a person feels that there's been some yeshamayim, something that has been added that's taken place during shalosh sudas, then he should make an effort to see to it that it not pass and extinguish immediately. This obviously is one of the greatest difficulties when it comes to holding on to any Dovah Shebekdusha, to any experience of holiness, that a person can go right out, can go out from Shabbos, and he can go out from Shal Shudas and a whole Avaida and lose everything in a minute. So he says, "Rak harech ba," you have to try. "Rak harech ba," you have to try to extend this feeling, to extend the experience. "Rak harech ba," ve'emar belibcha ogamis vasecha, and to say in your heart, even to say with your mouth, "Ani yorei es Hashem, kol kach ani yorei es elokai hagadol v'hakadosh." To make it into something which is concrete. As you know, this is a very big yisayid in Avodas Hashem. That I notice to be able to look at oneself and to say at that time, after having gone through the Shalosh Sudas, "Ani Yoreis Hashem," I feel this Yoreis Hashem. Kol kach ani Yoreis Elokai Hagadol VaKadosh Elohu Yisbarach Karv Ato Eleinu. That Hashem Yisbarach is very close to us now. Kol kach ani Yoreis Yichidi HaKadosh VaHagadol Bari HaOlamos. And I have such a feeling of yira before the Rebbeinu Shlalom, the creator of all the worlds, after the Yiddish. Ubenachas chashav oy emerzais. And in a gentle way, one should think about this, or to say this. Uchval oysa. And to repeat this. If you look at the Sefer, those, I know many of the Chevri have been following, or at least buying this farm, of the Bilvavi Mishkan Avne. And if you look in the Sefer Shni Talas, the whole first chelik of Shni, it's a half-lidic amazing Sefer. The Shni Talas, the whole first chelik of Shni Talas, is really helping us to be able to develop a sprach, a language, a way of holding on to Inyanim Ruchnius through Diburim, through Tfilas, and so on. If you'll take a look, you'll see how important it is. And to repeat, that by saying these words, by repeating these words, so then if it helps you feel it more, then you should do that. The main thing, of course, is not to just be saying words and just think of the words and meaning without any feeling. And it's not the main thing is not the words. Rakas Hashem, to feel the Ribbono Shel Olam. Umin Gad Lusa Yisbarach Shel Habari Kol Olam Mitzal Yenim Mitachtanim Tachshay. But to think about the greatness of Hashem Yisbarach, the one who created all worlds above and below. Vaz Yesh Shebishoshat Mestakel Biyoschal Hashaycha Shebicheder. And with this in mind and feeling this, and you sit there and you look around in the darkness in the room on Shalashudas. Ma'atzmal yipol b'machshavtucha pasuk anema b'Avraham Avinu b'shosh and nigla ilav elokim. The pasuk might just fall into your head. The pasuk that it says by Avraham Avinu at that time in his life, by the Bris ben Abisarim, behine eima chasheicha gadayla nafelus alav. And there was a great and awesome darkness that fell upon him. And if you feel at the time, if you feel at the time of Shalosh Sudas, if you feel that your soul is being uplifted, as it says in Pasuk, that his heart was lifted up in the ways of Hashem, with his bainei. Think, he says, think about this. Ashreinu matayv chalkeinu. Ashreinu, how fortunate we are, how fortunate we are. V'chaykim anu atam and ha'elu mish'aynay. We are so far removed right now from the world and all of the tumult, all of the noise of the world. Krushim yikol, and we're separated from everything. Rak al mishu kadosh. U'misharasav kadoshim anu shayachim. Only for the one who is holy and his servants are holy are we right now longing. Well, ha'ein soifa, ha'ein tachlis on the tzayikim u'miskarfim, and to the infinite one, we're calling out and we're getting closer. V'shiras v'sishbochas elab maraninim, and we're singing to him. Shiras v'sishbochas. If a person would just stop and think sometimes during his mirrors on Shabbos, at the Shabbos table. It's a wonderful thing to sing Zmiris, but very often, over the years, the Zmiris just become like a, you know, the Zmiris become, like many things in our Yiddishkeit, but they become empty. And it's just a part of, you know, there's the fish, and then there's some fish, then you have a little bit of schnapps, then you have some soup. And then you have chicken and kugel, you know. And here and there, you belt out, you know, some curry ben olam or something. And I've said this all the time, you know, with the children in the house, that in the middle, you know, you'll have like this, you know, you could sit like this, and everybody close their eyes and sings shvach nasah there, and then some kid, like, you know, at the end of the table. Says something, the other one says, really? You know? Like in the middle, the other one says, really? She got the dress for him? And we all do that. It's not just kids, it's all of us do that. The Zmiris become, like everything else in our Avodas Hashem, if we don't think about for whose sake we're singing this and to whom we're singing, so then it becomes, it's still a nice thing, it's still better than not singing, of course, it's good. But it becomes something which is not what it was meant to be, not what it could be. And to remember to whom we're singing and what this is about. V'shiras v'sishbachas elav maraninim, that we're singing songs to him. The darkness of Shalosh Sudas, the purpose of the darkness of Shalosh Sudas, the Rebbe says, is to cast away, is to push away the rest of the world at that moment, to move away the world, that there should be nothing at all in the world for you. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'mafilim u'miyachad imeschem ima yisbarach. And by casting that darkness upon the rest of the world, a person is able to climb in together and be just with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'miyachad imeschem ima yisbarach. U'kumay me'atz may misnaitzis b'cha ha'pasuk. And the pasuk at that time also can fall into your head, v'yovay ma'ishal harafel asher shamu elokim, that the only place that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to meet kivyachol Hashem was when he went up and he entered into the darkness, and that's the inyan of the darkness of Shalosh Sudas. As I mentioned over the past few weeks, that's the inyan of entering into the darkness of Shalosh Sudas. Like in Rabbi Nachman's story of the seven beggars we've spoken about over the years, the blind beggar who says that, you think I can't see? I see so much that I see nothing at all. I mean, I see so much, I see everything so clearly that I don't see the world at all. Because a person who sees Be'emes clearly doesn't see the world at all. That means he doesn't see all of the things that you and I are saying. I can't do this because of the world. I can't do this because of my wife. I can't do this because of my kids. I can't do this because of my Yetzirah. I can't do this because of the temperature. I can't do this because of where I live, because of my parents are. I can't. Everything is I can't. And the choshech that when Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah, he received it in darkness. He entered into the darkness. Asher shamah elokim, because the Bnei Yisrael is there. The darkness means that a person is able to come to that realization, especially during that holiest time of the week of Shal Shudas. A person can come to the realization that none of those things are there. When a person's in the darkness, meaning that he sees things so clearly that he doesn't see the world at all. And then he understands that the reason that he's not a bigger Eved Hashem, it's not because of his wife, it's not because of his parents, not because of his kids, not because of his pets, not because of the weather, not because of that he's in America and he's not in itself. I would be in itself, I'd be a bigger Eved Hashem. It's not because of any of those things. But a person is Vayavai Mashal Arafil Asher Shamah Elokim. The Vayin Shalom is there in that place of darkness. When a person is able to see the truth, and then he sees that the world, there's nothing to see in the world. There's nothing to look at in the world. The world becomes dark. The whole week, everything is lit up. Everything is lit up. And when it's lit up, so the person takes everything very, very seriously. He looks at the world and he sees it, and he gets frightened by a million things, because the world is, he sees everything in the world, and everything that he sees is pulling him away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But finally, by the time it gets to Raiva de Raiva, by the time it gets to Shabbos Mincha, Ata Echad V'Shimcha Echad, which I don't know if you looked at the note on the bottom, it's really not something to talk about, it's only Beremiza, but where a person is able to, where everything else in the world is, all the lights in the world are turned out. He speaks there, of course, about intimacy. I'm not going to spell it out, but it means that at that time of course of greatest intimacy, so the lights are out, and you're alone with that person. There's a covering. You're concealed from the rest of the world, and everything is dark, and all there is that relationship. Zahu. That's all there is. Usvasacha is divrei hachoriz. And your lips begin to say the words from Ka'ech Saif, Merachashayis, you begin to mumble, to whisper the words, Hatzel me'acharei lifreish min ha-Shabbos levilti tiyas sogi mehem shishi yom. Ha-mekabim kedusha mi-Shabbos kodshecha. We ask the Baruch Shalom, of course, mostly it's, most people, at least that I know, don't say the words to Ka'ech Saif. It's a shame. A lot of times I just say them. I don't know how to fit them into the niggin. They're very hard to fit into the niggin. And I've just been yom a couple of times. I still can't get it straight. To help me out with that, how you get the words into the niggin? It's an avoda to fit that the words and the niggin should go together. But the words are so unbelievably beautiful and ka'ech seif. They're so beautiful. Hatzel me'achrei lifreish min ha-Shabbos. Person begs Hashem to save me. As it comes to the time where I have to pull myself away and separate myself from Shabbos, the Baruch Shalom, I'm asking you that I shouldn't be shut off during the 6 days of the week. I shouldn't be closed off to what? To the Kedusha that they receive from Shabbos Kodshecha, that the 6 days of the week are able to receive from Shabbos. And don't, Levilti Tiyas Sogra Mehem, Shisha Yom HaMakalim Kedusha M'Shabbos Kodshecha Ribbono Shel Olam Freis Es Kedushos Chazu Aleinu Gam HaKol HaShavua. And to say, Ribbono Shel Olam, spread this Kedusha over us, extend the Kedusha, that it should have an effect upon us during the entire week. But then the Rebbe reminds us, gives us a little bit of a warning. But please remember and engrave this in your mind. Shaloi sita lachshav shavaknasenus kan shabo hashor shal sosudis tefanes daitach levakish machshavus latzayt zirim lovelo. I don't want you to think that I'm telling you to spend your time during Shalosh Sudas trying to imagine all kinds of things, but that's the tachlis, just to sit there to try to imagine things, to try to use this imagery for the entire Shalosh Sudas. That's not it. The main thing of Shalosh Sudas is not to close your eyes and to imagine all different things. It's only to help you of course, to attach yourself to Hashem and to pour your heart before Him. And that's the tachlis of Shalosh Sudas. And the Rebbe reminds us, I'm not here trying to. My point here is not to teach you. My point is not teaching you how to have a better imagination and provide you with an arsenal of things that you could think of during Shalosh Sudas, a picture in your mind. Rakes nefesh ha-metzayeres. What the tachlis of all of this is, to draw out that quality of a person that's called nefesh ha-metzayeres, the imagining soul. The soul that's able to draw, that's able to feel, that's able to emote and to experience, to draw that out. I'm only giving you examples of things that could help draw out the nefesh. But the tachlis, of course, is not to be lost in all kinds of visions in your mind. The tachlis is to draw out the visionary mind that you have, that feeling, that nefesh that's able to think of higher things and to be miskasha to Hashem. Rakis nefesh ha-metzayeris. K'may she'aveinu is divrei kodesh shel tikkun ha-zayir, nefesh ha-metzayir. With the Zerk, the tikkunim uses such a lashon of nefesh ha-metzayir. That part of us, that koyach that we have to be able to be metzayir. Ki l'chol adam yesh nefesh, shemikol dovish shemargi shemispalei metzayeris lo tzayurim. In every one of us, there is this quality, there is this nefesh. That from anything, when a person feels something, and when he's in wonder about something, it has the ability to be mitzayir tziyurim, to create images and to deepen that feeling. Instead of it just dying, instead of a person not feeling anything, just you get excited for a second, then it goes away. But the person has this koyach that the Zohar calls the nefesh mitzayir. Rimena Hachaloim is Belaila. From that nefesh hametzayah comes the dreams of night. Umimena hademyayin is b'yayim. And the demyayinis during the day. V'chol ish lefi ha'inyonim sh'aisik v'shakur behem. Each person's dreams at night and the things that he dreams about during the day with his eyes open, his daydreams, or he imagines during the day, are different. Each person's are different depending upon what is he Isaac in, what is he immersed in, what is he connected to, what is he Isaac in. Nefesh mitzayeris kazum megalim minafshay. That's the nefesh mitzayeris that he reveals from his own soul. You could have two old people that they're no longer working, they're retired. When they see something interesting and something new and exciting, these two old guys, this old fellow for 60 years was a plumber, so when he gets all excited about something, and he dreams about it, he thinks about something, it comes like in the tziurim of pipes and toilets, and that's how it comes, like that maisa with the chedusha rima, the merdeka maisa with the chedusha rima that I've told many times. It's a whole story, but there was a yid, there was a balagola, who was maisa nefesh, a wagon driver, was maisa nefesh to get the chedusha rima to Kutsk for Shabbos, and the chedusha rima had a big chalisus hadas, because it was already late Friday and the roads were very, very terrible. And the chalisum, the whole inyan was that he should get the kotzk to be with the Rebbe on Shabbos, and it didn't look like it was possible. And this wagon driver just said, no matter what, I'll get the Rebbe there. And the Chiddushim said, look, what are we going to do? We're going to go to, we'll have to stay Shabbos in one of these shtetlach here. And the wagon drivers were going to go right. And he was driving and pushing the horses. It was unbelievable. And one of the horses died on the way. And he's going right. And the Chiddushim says, we can't. And he says, Rebbe, I'm going to do it. And it was terrible pressure and the weather and everything. The kids said they got to Kosk. And the Chiddush Arim went and he thanked him profusely and he paid him, you know, double. And the Chiddush Arim had to run quickly to get to the mikvah, to change and everything, and to get ready Shabbos. And then he found out when it came to Kavol Shabbos, there was a tumult, and they told him that the people that were with him said, Rabbi, did you hear that wagon driver, he died? He just was so... He was so stressed out, and wasn't so well to begin with, and the whole thing that happened, he must have had some kind of heart attack or something. He died. So you can imagine, Chiddushim had a terrible chalitza sadas, and he wanted to be piled to help this year, to do something for this year, because the year was not from the highest people. He wasn't somebody that did such good things usually, but this was a chashuv thing that he did. And the Chiddushim, they saw that the Chiddushim went into this whole dveikus to be piled something for this year. And it's a whole story and how it happened, what happened, and there's a lot of tziurim that go with the story. But the final result was that the Chiddushim said that there was a big diyun in Shemayim, that there was a whole thing going on in Shemayim when this wagon driver showed up. So the diyun revolved around the question that Sofkosof, this guy's life. There were a million things that he was doing that were wrong, and he wasn't a Gan Eden candidate to begin with. On the other hand, so the Chiddushim obviously was pushing and doing different things. But look what he had, such a mysterious nefesh that I should be able to come to Shabbos, to Kotzk for Shabbos, and what he was mysterious nefesh, and no matter what, and he lost his horse, and then his and second horse, and he himself died. So there was a whole tumult of malachim like this and like that. You know, he should go, he shouldn't go, what should be what? In the end, the Chiddushim said what happened to him was that they're not going to take him to to Gehenim. You can't take a person like that to Gehenim, that he was meis nefesh to do such a thing for Shabbos. You can't take him to Gehenim. That's not... On the other hand, to be in the tzaddik, with the tzaddikim Gan Eden, was it a shaykhis to tzaddikim? So it was decided that they were going to put him into a world that's called Olam HaDimyon, the world of imagination. And in that world, he's going to imagine that he's still alive and he has two healthy horses and the wheels of his wagon are always good and the road is always paved and straight. And he's going to be the happiest guy like for eternity. Just always on a straight concrete road with two healthy horses and good wheels. And the Olam HaDimyon. And the Chiddushim said that was all I could be puzzled for him, because that was his biggest dream.
That was his biggest Olam Haba.
That was his biggest Shaifa. You know, like you could end up in Olam Haba thinking you're forward for the Knicks in the garden or something. Like, you know, smelling the perspiration of those chayis. That's what you could end up forever and ever. It's a pocket, isn't it? And you don't know. You like, you think you finally made it in this world, and like your mom and dad are in the audience. It's great. You know, your girlfriend is out there waving, and you're hitting every jump shot, and everything is going. And that's all the Olam HaDimyon. It's the Olam HaDimyon. And Chiddushim says, I was able to be pearl for him, but I couldn't get him past that. There was no way, because that was like his biggest inyan. That was his biggest dream, his biggest shifa, was to have two healthy horses in a concrete road. And that was the best I could do. So, the Rebbe saying is, you could have, you know, two. You could have a person, I don't know, he says, two old people, okay, but he had an old person that his halaymus, his makshavus, the way that he's mitzayah things are limited by his life's experiences and by the business or whatever he was Isaac in. That's his Isaac, and that's who he is.
In the shiur, that was in a way a torture for somebody after they saw the tzaddikim, after they kept replaying that same basket in the garden over and over. And when they see the tzaddikim, what they could have had, then it's a little bit of a torture.
Yeah, that's Gehenna, but the Chiddush Umar is powerful for this yid, that he shouldn't have to go through that torture, right? That was the whole thing the Chiddush Umar was able to help him. That he shouldn't, Chas v'Shalom, have to see that. You're right, there is such a thing that the Sfarim talk about, that a person sees the truth and he sees the difference and so on. You know, all of that. But that's fortunately because of what the Ziyad did. So the Chiddush Umar was able to help that, like you didn't have to have that, you know, that show. You didn't go through the show. So he was just like in Machai, everything was good. He's still going. The Chiddush Umar said he's still going. Just smiling, going down that road. It's a beautiful day, someplace in Poland. There's no more Poland. There's no more horses. There's no more going, but he's still going. This is why is that? He said it could be it's already 20 years, 30 years. This yid is not Isaac. He's not doing this anymore. He's not riding horses anymore. He's not a plumber anymore. It's already many years, and still his tziurim and his thoughts. It's not in this business. Listen carefully. This is something you have to really have to think about. He says, Derby says, because why is it that it's already so many years later and it's still on his, like all of the, so many of the things in his mind, they still revolve around that Indian there of 20 years ago. So he says, because the answer is very simple. Because at that time, even though it might be years and years ago, at that time that there were Isaac in that Malacha, or in that Schaira, Adla Nafsham Higyuma Sayim. They put their kishkas into that job. So this guy was a wagon driver, but everything about him was, you know, the weather and the wheels and the horses and buying and selling the horses. I mean, his whole chias was in his business. It wasn't that his chias was in learning and in davening and mitzvahs, and he did that for a living. In other words, a person has to make a cheshbon nefesh, that if you make yourself into a fed, that you put your heart and soul into some place, like, you know, into some work that you're doing. Again, nobody's suggesting that a person work in a way that's not caring and good. You have to do a good job, and you have customers, whatever it is. You have to be menschlich and do things in an ehrlich, honest, good way, of course. But you have a person that's like shaku in his business, that he can't, that his mind doesn't go away from his business. That, you know, he doesn't have, that his davening is kind of davening, and his family and learning, everything is much less important to him, and he becomes totally, totally bound up with that schayra, that malach, whatever he's doing. So the Rebbe is saying that what happens is that because it's adla nafsham higiyu ma'aseihem, adla nafsham, because there's nothing in the world that a person has a bigger chias from than something that touches his soul. And it's very scary. What is it that is higiyu ad nafsham? In other words, if your shalosudas of your Shabbos is a cold shalosudas on Shabbos, but the whole week you're all for hits, screaming and yelling on the phone to this client and that client, you're out making deals, and then when you have a deal or something, then it's, you have all this spilessness, rakshas, and you call up your wife and you say, you know, I'm Donald Trump, and I was you wouldn't believe how fortunate you are to be married to a person like me. I'm so much slayer. and everybody at work is looking at you. That's what you think. I don't really care about you, but everybody's looking at you and you feel like so chashiv. It's higiyu ad nefesh. It's higiyu ad nefesh. And at the same time, you always say, I hate this, I can't stand it. But that's your whole. Okay, it's understandable. You feel that you're matzliach in that. A person feels that he's good at what he does, it's a nice thing. And sometimes a person that feels he's not good at Gemara and he's good at accounting, so he gets excited about it. He gets excited about how much money somebody else is making. I don't know how you can accept. Somebody gets excited. This guy's making or losing how much money, credits, debits, whatever they do, and he's all excited. But when it comes to Gemara, he never, you know, he's afraid of the Gemara. It's because he's afraid of the Gemara, he's always afraid of it. He never got into the Gemara. And this, he feels he's good at, and he's accomplished at, and he could be much Matzliach at. Instead of each person finding his Hatzlach and Avodas Hashem, this one in Gemara, this one in Tanakh, this one in Halacha, this one in Chassidus, and this one in Musa, whatever it is, and a person having a spyless, being excited with what he's learning. That it should be sweet. Says the Gemara says in Kiddushin that there's a Yetzahara, that a person is a big Yetzahara. Everybody has Yetzahara, and it's impossible. A person would not be able to defeat the Yetzahara, the Gemara says. But Baruch Baruch Hu Torah Tavlin. Baruch Hu created, Akash Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, and the Torah is a Tavlin. It's an interesting thing, but the Gemara says, this they should be talked more about, it's not for now so much. But the Gemara says, Baruch Hu Torah Tavlin. So you would think that the Gemara, based upon the way it's saying, the Gemara that is talking before about the Yetzirah being like a sickness. So you would think that the Gemara would say that Baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tayr Refuah. You would think that the Gemara would say that there's a big Yetzirah. And Malay HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael Enodem Yochalai. You wouldn't be able to, if not for the Rishon himself, it would be impossible, because B'chal Yayim Yitzchak Sholdem is Gaber Love, there's a stronger and stronger Yetzirah. So what's the person going to do? So the Gemara says, no, that the Baruch Shalom created, and this is the machla of the world, of one's life, the Yetzar, Baruch Baruch Hu Torah Tavlin. So Baruch Baruch Hu created Torah as a Tavlin. So it's interesting. Tavlin means like a spice to make some food delicious. That's what Tavlin is, to make food, to make something delicious. It should have said, you would think it would say in the Gemara, Baruch Baruch Hu Torah Refuah. But Hashem created, there's the Yetzirah, that's the Machla, the sickness, and Hashem created, gave us the Torah. The Torah is the refuah, is the cure, the antidote. It doesn't say, it says the Torah, Baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu Torah Tavlin. The Tavlin means something which is delicious, it makes everything taste good. That's Tavlin. So, what the Gemara is saying, is the Pashtus in the Gemara is, that when the Torah is sweet to you, then it could help you defeat the Yetzirah. But if the Torah that you're given is dry and lifeless, it's not going to work. We spoke about this 1,000 times, because the Yetzirah has a good taste. The Yetzirah is sweet. So Baruch Torah Tavlin is saying, you're not going to be able to be victorious in your battle with the Yetzirah just because you opened up a sefer and looked at the sefer. And just because you went to yeshiva. We see that. It's not necessarily true. It's only when it's Torah Tavlin. It's only when it's Vaharav Nasham Lakenus Divers, when the Torah is sweet. When a person's Torah is with a taiva, only when there's a taiva for Torah can the taivas of this world seem silly and meaningless. But when your Torah is without a taiva, mamash a taiva. So then, the Torah is not exciting, the Torah is not sweet, and you don't have a spyless. So then what does a person find is a spyless? He gets a spyless from work, mostly from other things. From other things. Because the Rebbe says, that's what he's saying. Adla nafsham higiyu ma'aseyim. Because whatever it is that reaches your nefesh, that's what takes over your life. Whatever reaches your soul takes over. If Torah does that, if the Torah is higiyu ad nafsham, if that's what. Even though you're working, not talking about a person that necessarily is actually to sit all his life in a Beis Medrash. But you have a person like Rabbi Yehuda Levi says, when Rabbi Yehuda Levi speaks about the chassid, about the tzaddik, and he speaks about the time of davening, and he calls it the pri, the fruit of the day. And Rabbi Yehuda Levi says that the chassid, and he's talking about a person that works all day. But he said that all day long, when the chassid is at work, he says, All he's longing for and waiting for are those few moments that he's able to chap to be alone with the Rabbeinu Shalom to daven. It's the pri hazman. That's what the Rabbi Yehuda Levi calls it. It's the fruit of his time. It's the tachlis of his time. But if God forbid it's of an ahapechu, and during davening all you're waiting to do is to get finished with davening and get to work, because there work, you know, people listen to you. There you're a big balabas. When it comes to davening, you think no one's listening to you. And everybody wants to be heard. So when it comes to work, they listen to you. So a person, if the pri of your zman, if the fruit of your time, if the tachlis of your time, that part of your day that reaches your nefesh is work. It means you're not just you're schlepping and you're talking. You have to do all that stuff. But if it touch, if it's something which is, if it's something which is ad lanafshem higiyu maaseyim, so then it's very hard to shake that off of a person, because that's who you are. What touches you, what reaches the nefesh. And that's why, especially for a person who's working all week, davening, to chop something and learning, and especially Shabbos, that Shabbos should be something which is an experience. Each Shabbos should be ad hanefesh mamish. That Shabbos has to reach all the way into you. If your Shabbos is, if a person's all week long, he is all week long out in that world of Schayra and of Malachi, he's in the world of Tumah. So if his Shabbos is not going to be a Shabbos that's ad hanefesh, so there's come out no hope for him. I mean, he could be officially an observant person, but you know, he's part of the program of the two horses and the paved road. That's his world, and everything is the fee that world that he's mashkiah himself in. Shabbos, and that's what he's saying in Ka'ech Seif. That when Shabbos is leaving, a person has to beg the Baruch Shalom that Shabbos should somehow hold me. That this should be the part of my life. That even though it's only 1/7 of my life, Shabbos, but it should be my giyad nefesh. And a person should stop and think about that. That even though it might be you came home so late you couldn't even talk to your kids, you couldn't help with homework or play with them, but, and all you have from the day is that you're able, you get back so late that you get back into the house, and all you can do is to go into the room and to lean over and to give the kid a kiss. But you should stop and say, that Rebbe Shalom, help me that this kiss should be magia ad hanefesh. Even though it's only 1 second of the day. 1 second of the day. You spent 1,000 seconds, you'll excuse me, kissing up to a bunch of idiots, and you only spend 1 second kissing this tzaddik at tzaddikas. But you have to ask for Baruch Shalom, it should be that this should be magia ad nafshi. And the rest of the day, all that stuff that I'm doing, I have to do it. It's a pronouncement. Okay, you made an Indian that I had, you made a Xavier that I had. What am I going to do? But that's not magia ad nafesh. It's a big klal of nafshi avilachma. So a person has to extend those seconds in life. And when you sit down to learn, if you come back at night, and you're able to learn a little bit, you should daven that it should be ad hanefesh. And when you get up in the morning, you're able to learn a little bit. So Rebbe Shalom, the same way that I ask by Ka'ech Seif, they ask Rebbe Shalom, I'm learning a little bit in the morning, I have an hour to learn in the morning, help me during the day, that don't close me off from this hour that I had of learning, because this is the tachlis of my life. It's magia ad hanefesh. Ad lanafshem higiyu ma'aseyim. That's the inyan of tefillah that's so unbelievable. When a person, when you're going to do something that's nice for a friend, and everybody's doing a million nice things. Even, you know, you go, your friend needs a lift, you take him to the train, you do a taiva for a yid. So you say, Rabbi Shalom, it takes 1 second under your breath, that it should be magia ad nafshi. That even though it takes me a minute to drive my friend, or to do this taiva, to make this call for somebody, you know, a couple of times during the day you stop and you think that it should be ad nafshi. When you're dancing at a simcha, now it's coming, this time of the year, they're going to be Bez Hashem simchas, we're going to be by chasnas almost every night, and different times we'll be by simchas, that a person should be able to dance. But when you get up to dance, we do that, we make the circles a million times, and we're happy for our friends, but to say, Rabbi Shalom, help that the rikud should be magia ad nafshi. That the simcha that I feel for a friend should be ad hanefesh. And on the other hand, that when you have to be Isaac in things of this world, you have to daven Hatzel, Rebbein Shalom, Hatzel Machre, Lifresh, Rebbein Shalom, save me, protect me, that it shouldn't be, that I shouldn't be in the Nafshe Yavi Lachmai, that it shouldn't be that when I'm doing this Malach, I'm taking care of this job, or I'm involved in this business, that it shouldn't be Adan Nefesh. And how does it happen that a person looks around after working 40, 50 years, and he doesn't know his children or his grandchildren and his wife, you know, can tell him after 40 years, what shaykhis did we have? What do you have in this world? What do you have So all the years that you're working, so what the tachlis? We had nothing all those years. You were never home. You had no shaychus to anybody. That a person was mashkia his entire soul into something, and then he looks around and he's already an old man. And what was it? What was the hashka'ah? What was the investment? And he doesn't even see it while he's in it. He's so excited. He's making the deals and he's doing this. And all the time he doesn't understand how come his wife is sad. Sof, I'm doing this for you, I'm doing this for you, I'm doing this for you, I'm doing this for the kids, I'm doing this for you. You say your whole life, I'm doing this for you, I'm doing this for the kids. And the wife and the kids are saying, don't do it. You say, yeah, but you want to have nice things, and you want to go to the best school and the best camp, and you want to get to the best, you know, have all the gewaldige things, and you're telling me I shouldn't do it. This is the tsar that a person has in this world. But it's true. It's become unbelievably difficult just to make ends meet. That's true. An afal pichein, there's a chilik between a person whose work is magiyad nafshay, God forbid, that the work should not come out, shouldn't reach that place. There's a place inside of a person that has to be kodesh kadoshim. And like I said, even if it's only that you have a little bit of time at home, because you have to, because the maaser. Somebody, I was in the car the other day with somebody, and he was telling me about. I asked him how the children, and then on his own he said, you know, I would love to have a bigger family, but I get these bills for $40,000 for tuition. You know, I can't. I said, I can't pay this kind of money. You know, I don't have this money to give. And it's a pacha that's in the tsar, a nefesh that a person has. So sometimes you can't, and you have to work. You have to work yom v'layla to be able to make ends meet. And even then, if a person uses tefillah, a lot of tefillah. So even though it's true that you only have that minute, and sometimes when you come back, if a person is zeichel, the children, you know, and you have a family with God's help, and sometimes you come back and the children are sleeping, it's true. And it's true that you're not deluding yourself. I'm not talking about someone that's deluding himself and says, I'm doing this for my wife and kids, and then, you know, it's for himself. A person that's a sincere person, he has to pay for all these things. He wants the kids to be in a good yeshiva, and he wants to be able that they should have a nice time in the summer, and he wants to be able that they should have, you know, good things. The Christ was. I mean, it's hard to say nowadays what does it mean, what we need and what we don't need. But even just to be able to live in a sviva that you want, to be able to have a Jewish neighborhood, to live in a Jewish neighborhood. If any of us wanted to live, if we didn't care about living with other Jews, you know, we could go someplace out there, and, you know, in Yannisville, and you know, you could buy something chatzichinim, and you wouldn't have to worry. You could probably, after selling the house, you could put everything in the bank, and you know, and you could spend the rest of your life, you know, by the grill and going to ShopRite or something, and you'd manage, just from the money of selling a house and far away the five towns, you could sell a house and live the rest of your life. You could sit and learn the whole day. Sounds interesting, don't it? Sit and learn the whole day, Mamish. Why? So you say, because what do you think of it? Because you made such a thing. I want to be with other Jews. I need to have a place for my children. And other Jews want to play with. They need to be with Yidden. And I need to be in a place with this Torah and to be with other B'nai Torah and so on. And a person has to be filled with tefillahs that I shouldn't forget the tachlis of my life, and that I should remember the tachlis, and that work should never ever come to that place. That's ad l'nafshem higiyu ma'aseim. It should never come to that point. Only the things that I'm doing, the little bit that I'm able to learn. That's why I explain many times where it says, Rabbi Blagel, the Siddiqim say that's the nes of Chanukah, is that you're able that the rabbi biyad ma'atim, that the few were able to defeat the many, right? That's Chanukah. So the Reb Leibler says that means that the few moments of the day that I spend in holiness should be able to defeat the many moments of the day that I spend in Nairishka, working. The few moments of the day of Torah and Tefillah and with the family should be victorious. That's Rabban Biyad Ma'atim. We ask the Bershom, deliver the many into the hands of the few. That's what it means, that Tefillah. So he says, Adlan Avshmi Gima Sein, but he says, many years after they retired, these guys, all of their thoughts and all of their tzirim and all of the chalaimis revolve around that inyan that they were Isaac. Because it touched their souls. and they put all the koiches into it. And that's the way a person is. He remains attached to something. Wherever his nefesh is, that's where he is. You remain attached to wherever you put your nefesh, that's where you are. Whatever it is that excited you, that's where you stay. You could have an old man that he could be an obscene, vulgar old man, even though he doesn't even have the derech hateva, those taivas anymore. But he's so murgal, he's so shakua in filth and in dirty jokes and in Irish guy, that even as an old man, even though mitzad the teva of the goof, he's no longer nimshach acha the teva of that taiva, but he's still but he watches and we think and he tells jokes and he's still vulgar. And you could say to him, what are you talking about? You don't have a shaykhus that he's in Yonim. It's not open mensch, what is it with you? You have nothing else to... That's his vocabulary, that's his life. He was a dirty young man, he's a dirty old man. That's it. You see, it's a very, very sad thing. It's a very sad thing. But that's who he is. He was the life of the party when he was 25. And he was the best conversationalist, you know, in the shul. And then you see the guy, you know, 75 years old, shuffling along, 80 years old, shuffling along the shul. He's still the life of the party. He thinks he is. The young people look at him like, you know, he's from outer space. And the more serious of the guys that he knows, feel Rachmanis, that's it. But he still thinks of himself. He's still, you know, he's still riding the horses on the Chiddush Rim's road. And it's all from the Olam HaDimyon, Amish. But that's what he was. He was mashki himself in pleitzanis, in jokes, in humor. And when he's an old guy, what's he going to do? That's who he is. He's just a lights. Now he's an old lights, and it's a big rachmanis. It's rachmanis on a young lights too, but on an old lights, it's the biggest rachmanis in the world. The gam he nispalem min maaseyim nishta u min maaseyim nishtana. He says each person, he's both of these old guys, one of them is in Bamalach, the other one's in Balschair, okay, one of them is a carpenter, a shoemaker, the other one is a merchant. But each one, his Nefesh Mitzayeris was drawn out. He drew out his Nefesh Mitzayeris. This one's a carpenter and this one's a merchant. But the Nefesh Mitzayeris is the Nefesh Mitzayeris of a carpenter. And this is the Nefesh Mitzayeris of a merchant, of a salesman. That's the Nefesh Mitzayeris. At Shagam Ata, Akadekach, that even now, At Shagam Ata, Me'atzma, on its own. It's not like he has to say, to go and think back about those, the good old days. He's not even trying to, but he's drawn that Nefesh out that's become so excited and worked up when he was a young man being Isaac and those things. He's drawn it out to such a degree that later in his life, Me'atzma, Dimyonais, Umaras Kaelu, Mikol Hargoshi, Mitzieresla. He has the same Dimyonais, the same imagination, the same fantasies, the same images in his mind. Many, many years later. Mikol Hargoshi, Mitzieresla. Mikol Hargoshi. You get a person that was a soldier, you know, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, you know, was a soldier. A person that had to be that had to fight in a war, or somebody that was fighting in World War II, or Korea, or Vietnam, a person that was in a war, it's a pachad, it's magiyat hanefesh. It's something that reaches into the kishkas of a person, the fear and the emotions and all the things that, you know, we're not masik that. Only a person that had to do that, that had to fight in a war, can be masik that. And I have an Eretz Yisrael. When I was younger, so I have cousins of mine that they're not religious, and when you would sit with them, all they were talking about was the war. It was 1967, you know, that time. All they were talking about was the different things, and you know, what was going on, and that's everything in life just became that inyan. And no one has any timeness. That's a hachshat gilim kamer, you know, what that means to go through a milchama. And the things that a person sees in the Muhammad, that it's magia ad hanefesh. But the rest of life, everything that you're seeing and everything you're talking about, and all the tziyum and demyanis, are all somehow going back to that life changing experience that reached into your nefesh. And it's very hard to get out of that. So whenever there's any hargosha, whenever you have any emotion, you automatically slip into that kind of a way of thinking and that type of that, those type of demyanis and thoughts, because you're in the past when you were feeling something very deeply, it was in that inyan. So now, even many years later, when you feel something very deeply, it naturally accesses that seer and that dimyan that was the deepest in your life. And if your deepest experience and your most emotional experience in life was the milchama, was whatever that was, or work, or whatever it might be. So then, even many years later, when there's a hergish, it releases that seer, that dimyan. This is what we're demanding. This is what we're seeking. This is what we're doing. This is what we want. What? Shaloi nefesh hamitzayeres lano me'atzma dvarim hadyaitin negalano. We want to take over. We want to be in charge of the nefesh hamitzayeres. We want to be able to have use of that great, unbelievable energy and power to feel emotions and to imagine and to dream and we want all of that, but we want to be able to be in control of it, that it shouldn't be that we just have this narishkeit, that it should that the nefesh mitzayeres me'atzma dvarim hadyaitim negalulano, that our nefesh, each person has a nefesh mitzayeres, we have to work on ourselves that the nefesh mitzayeres shouldn't be showing films, you know, the Wednesday matinee shouldn't be some stupid thing in your head and in your heart, but that we should become the balabatim over the nefesh mitzayeres, not that it should just be, you know, all of these things from earlier investments of our souls. Rakam mitzayeres dvarim kedoshim, but that we should be able to take hold of the nefesh mitzayeres, that it should be able to be able to mitzayer dvarim kedoshim, holy things, umaris hakodesh, and to have great and holy images and pictures in one's mind and one's heart that will cause a person to feel emotionally excited, to feel an excitement, not from other things, but maris kodesh, the galah mikirbeinu, that we should be able to reveal within ourselves, umeatzma tegala oisan. Yesterday I had a simcha. I was earlier in Borough Park, and I got there. I had to go someplace, and I was waiting. My wife is going to come pick me up, and we're going to go to the simcha. And I was standing on the corner of 16th and 52nd. I was standing on the corner. Basically, I was in a place, but I was where my wife wouldn't see me, because I went and waited on the corner, and I was watching the kinderlich go by, the little boys from Cheder. They were coming out from Cheder. And every single little group that passed by, you know how the mommies dressed them up and all kinds of good, fancy things, because when they're bar mitzvah, that's finished, right? Then it's the white and black. So they give them like all the plaid stuff and all the like cute little things, right? And the little groups of boys that were passing by, and each group I was saying, "Ay, Rabbi Shalom, watch over them, that they should stay like this." The kids, there was this group that was standing right next to me. They were standing. They bought these mitzvah cards, something, had mitzvah cards, different things. And they were so excited. They were so excited. They you know, back and forth in that sweet, the mamalosh and how they were talking. I had such a spyless to me. It was just a beautiful thing. Like the sun was setting, and these little boys were so innocent and so sweet. They're not talking about the things that a lot of the kids that grow up in different places talk about. And they were just like, you know, so innocent. And I was thinking, about Hashem, how are you going to, what's going to be with them, that they should be preserved, that you should protect them, that they should always have his structures and his pilots and Maris HaKadosh, that they're not looking at baseball cards. They're not looking at pulling away magazines because there's some movie star or some pretty girl in the magazine. They're so excited over this. Over these things, these mitzvahs, and pulling back and forth and yelling at each other, "I have this and you have that," and how does, you know, to hold on to that? But you know, there's a lot to be said for that upbringing. Even though to us it seems so strange and foreign, we weren't raised that way. They have a lot of Maris HaKadosh to look back on. Those kids, they have struggles like all of us, and many of them, like us, have to go through a lot of things, you know, and the Sionists, and they fail like we fail, and they succeed like we succeed. But I'll tell you one thing. They have a lot of good things to remember in Kedusha. When they go back in their heads, they're not going back to Britney Spears and to the Mets. You understand? When they go back in their heads, they have Maris HaKadosh, that their fathers took them every single minute to take to see Rebbes and Sadiqim, and everything they saw and everything they heard was Mamish B'Kedusha. I'm not saying it always ends up in the best way. You know, everybody has their Nisyonis. But I envy the memories that they have. Because they have gewaldige memories of that. Of that innocence. That nowadays, with the children of innocence, you can't talk to... When they're already 9-10 years old, it's so foul. They already know. You think they don't know. They found out everything on the bus. And these children, this the tamimas that they can remember. And I believe that even though they have to go through the nisyanis, but they have so many maris hakodesh, that's such a hisrachus of kedusha. What is it that those kids are screaming about and crying about and talking about adram shebe kedusha when they're little? I understand that later on it gets complicated, but they have so much to tap into. The kids in Yerushalayim in those shkunas. You know, you could write a term paper about how this is not the ideal way to raise children, and they have to have this and they have to have that, and that's the way the Baruch Shalom wanted our children to be pure and to be innocent and to be untouched. My daughter said to me the other day, my Cyrilla, that Baruch Hashem, is simply that they had a grandchild, Levi Yitzchak, be good and well. That Cyrilla was the other day. She said to me, you know. So she's getting out a little bit, she's walking. So she said, you know, Daddy, I think I want to move to Williamsburg. So I said, you know, a kid wants to move to Yerushalayim. You know, I raised idealistic family, Baruch Hashem. But she says she wants to move to Williamsburg. So I said, what do you want to move to Williamsburg? What's, you know? So she said, today was the first day that I really took a walk, and I had to go to the drugstore. And I went over there, what's it called, you know, by Kiefer, for the drugstore. And I walked in, and there was a Geisha song that they were playing in the drugstore. And she got very emotional about it, and she said that was the first time that Levi Yitzchak heard something that wasn't holy, because she sings to him all the time, and that he had to hear that song. So she said, I said, no, not in Williamsburg, but she's right. So she said, we all know that not everything in Williamsburg is Kaddish V'Tahara. We know that. I'm just using that. She just used that as an example because she remembers when she was a child. We would go there, and she has very nice memories and so on. But you know something? The Emmas. So she asked me. She said, "Are there like Eckerds and CVSs, you know, in Leesburg?" I said, "I don't remember. I don't think so. I mean, I spent a lot of time. I remember. I mean, I can go down all the stores on Lee Avenue. I know for sure." I said they have like Jewish, you know, Yiddish Geschäft, and it's all, you know, Yidden over there. It's all Jews over there, and it's all Jews that say Mamala and Tatala, right? Whatever happens later, but the children, it's a malchus of holiness. For the children, it's a malchus. You can say whatever you like. And we're all big knackers over here in the five towns, and we're so sophisticated. We're so sophisticated, but I'll tell you, they don't. When they're little over there, you can't beat it. She's right. I mean, she was talking about in America. I mean, that hergish, that a child is innocent, and that they have that, that must be something later in life that they can go back to, and that could help them in a million ways that we don't even understand. Could help them. We don't have that to go back to. What do we, we don't have that. What do we remember when we were inside the womb? It was after the womb, but it was downhill. So we don't have that to go back to. And they have that to go back to. They go through the same nisyanis, of course. And they're going to be in plenty of drugstores where they're playing Geisha music. And you could make all kinds of stresses. Yeah, but they never hurt. So now they could be more excited. Like I hear parents telling me these things. That my kid has to see television because I don't want him to be crazy about television when he's older. I said, what, like you? What do you mean? I don't know. You want him to be like you? What are you talking about? The Maris HaKadosh, that if somebody would open up your head, there's no rating for your head. Your head is beyond any rating for your brain. And that your kid should be, because your kid has to know what to fight against. You know, all these swaras that are just another way of saying, don't take away my television. That's all. That's all it means. Don't take away my television. There's nothing fancy about it. So I'm educating my kid. Your kid needs an education. The Maris HaKadosh. That's what the Rebbe's talking about. Just finish this sentence. She says, To the point that on their own, our nefesh metzayeres becomes so connected to kedusha that on its own we think of images of holiness. We don't have to even try to get to those machshavas. On their own, those machshavas come out. Now he's going to stop. He's going to get to more of this later, but this next little parak is going to be something of a. There's going to be a little bit musr in here. You'll see. We're going to get a good patch next week, and then we'll do weiter.